next question comes from Kenneth Joss of CQ Press. Kenneth?
Hello. What is the recent track record of courts that have reached the scrutiny question, what level of scrutiny is appropriate for anti-gay laws, and what influence do you believe the government's position will have on other courts besides the courts in the specific DOMA cases?
I don't hear David jumping in on that one.
Let me take a crack at that,
okay.
and then Ted can do it as well. The courts that have looked at this question have come up with mixed results. I think the trend is to appreciate the extent to which this requires strict scrutiny, but there are cases, and the earlier cases, a majority of cases, holding that it's rational basis. I think that what the Attorney General and the President have done, together with a very thoughtful analysis of this issue by Judge Walker, will hopefully, for the reasons that Judge Walker has stated and the reasons that the Attorney General has stated, persuade courts that the right standard is strict scrutiny. We also note, of course, as Judge Walker found, that we believe that even if the more relaxed standard of rational basis was applied, there is no rational basis that justifies this discrimination.
I will add that the Attorney General points out in his letter to Congress and his statement that the earlier intermediate appellate courts that have come up with a lower than heightened standard based their decisions in large part on the earlier Bowers versus Hardwick case that upheld a prohibition of intimate sexual relationships between persons of the same sex, and that case was explicitly overturned in a case called Lawrence versus Texas, and that therefore the reliance on that earlier case and the jurisprudence in that earlier case is no longer justified. And the Attorney General also points out that the most recent Supreme Court cases that have stricken down limitations and restrictions on gays and lesbian rights, Lawrence versus Texas and Romer versus Colorado, have been cases where the court found them unconstitutional, even under a lowered rational basis scrutiny. So we're quite confident that the government is right, and it's certainly going to be persuasive in federal courts, that even the government, who had a responsibility to defend the statutes, if it could found a basis for doing so, felt that under heightened scrutiny, which does apply, and they go through the factors that lead them to that conclusion, which were also proven to Judge Walker, would require a heightened scrutiny.
Thank you.
Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, you can also press 7. The next question comes from Rex Walkner. Rex?
Hello. How long do you think it might take the Ninth Circuit to respond to this request that the stay on Walker's ruling be lifted? And should they, in fact, lift the stay, could that decision itself be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court by the other side?
It certainly could be appealed.
They could appeal that decision. As to when we might expect a response, I think that the combination of what the California Supreme Court did by suggesting that it might take up to a year to resolve the procedural question, and what the United States government did today might strongly induce the Ninth Circuit to respond very quickly with respect to our request that the stay be lifted. Now, they're certainly going to hear from the other side before they do that. And if they do lift the stay, while that can be appealed to the United States Supreme Court, we would remind the courts in the process that the district court looked carefully at all of the factors that would justify a stay and systematically rejected each of those factors and said those, none of those factors would justify a stay in this case. In fact, they strongly favored not granting a stay. And if the Ninth Circuit comes to the same conclusion as the district court, we think that would be very persuasive in the United States Supreme Court.
The next question comes from Devin Dwyer of ABC. Devin?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Couple questions for you. Particularly with respect to the move by the administration today, is this sort of thing unprecedented on the national level? We had spoken in the last conference call about the parallels to your state with the governor and attorney general not defending the law. Where do you frame what happened today in the bigger picture, and also how might that impact your case?
I will say, this is Ted Olson, that it is not unprecedented. A while back, the United States government declined to defend any further so-called legislative vetoes in the rather well-known Chadha case, and the Supreme Court dealt with the fact that the administration specifically told the Attorney General, and the Attorney General told the court that legislative vetoes were unconstitutional. That judgment was upheld by the United States Supreme Court. During the same period of time, and it's happened frequently since then, many, many laws on the books involving discrimination on the basis of sex have been stricken down and not defended or challenged and not defended by the Justice Department because the sexual discrimination cases began to come down from the Supreme Court, striking down distinctions, for example, in Social Security benefits or survivor benefits under federal statutes on the basis of the sex of the party seeking the benefits. And after a few Supreme Court decisions, the government decided they were not going to defend those statutes any further. So while this is unusual, it does happen from time to time, and the Attorney General's explanation to Congress explains why they came to that conclusion in this case.
It might it have any impact for you?
Oh, and we strongly feel that the fact that now the governor of California and the attorney general of California, the top law enforcement officials of the state of Proposition 8 and the largest state in the nation, actually two successive governors and two successive attorneys general, have found Proposition 8 unconstitutional, and the Attorney General and President of the United States have come to the conclusion that discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation is required to submit to strict, to heightened scrutiny. We think that will be very persuasive in the courts that are handling our case.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Lisa Leff of the Associated Press. Lisa?
Hi. Can you tell me why about the timing of the filing to the Ninth Circuit today? What factors have happened since the last month or so that led you to ask for the stay now?
I think that Ted really addressed this at the beginning in the sense that the prospect that this could now drag on in the California Supreme Court for months or even a year, I think emphasizes the need not to have the stay continue. That stay deprives gay and lesbian citizens of California and the children that they're raising of their constitutional rights. The constitutional unconstitutional discrimination has been established by the district court's opinion, and we think that it's important that that not continue. It would be one thing to have a stay if the decision was going to be made relatively promptly, and that's what the Ninth Circuit started off doing. I mean, the Ninth Circuit expedited this because the Ninth Circuit recognized the importance of an expedited determination. Now, through no fault of the Ninth Circuit, it's going to take considerably longer to get this resolved, and so we think it's appropriate for the Ninth Circuit to reconsider that stay.
can we ask a quick follow? So I'm guessing similar arguments were made to the Supreme Court in the motion you made to asking them to expedite the case if they go ahead with the Ninth Circuit being inclined then to wait to rule on the stay lifting the stay request until that issue is resolved, until you hear back from the Supreme Court?
I don't want to try to predict what the court would or would not do. We would hope that they would not further delay.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Andrew Harmon of Advocates. Andrew?
Hey, thanks for taking my question. Actually, you guys have already answered it, but I was just wondering if you've heard any, there's been any response from the proponents, and is it likely, do you predict that they will also agree with expedited handling of this case, or will they oppose it? I don't know if you have a crystal ball, but I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on that.
This is Ted Olson. I wouldn't want to speculate as to what the proponents will do. We have not heard anything from them about this. I would hope that everyone concerned with this issue on both sides of the issue would want a final resolution by the courts as early as possible. The proponents have been very skillful, and they're represented by very skillful lawyers and presenting very, very forceful arguments on their side of the case. I think we should all want, everyone in this country should want, a swift resolution of the question of whether discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in the case of marriage can continue to exist. If it is going to be held unconstitutional, the sooner the better. And I think everyone should, we would hope that everyone would agree with that.